I was driving on Highway 2 on Saturday of last week, taking my family to the airport, so on my way back. So I'm driving south on Highway 2, and I'm between the 67th Street exit and the 32nd Street exit. So, you know, you go down the hill into the river valley. And I'm in the left-hand lane because I'm moving more quickly than the people in the right-hand lane. And someone comes up, flying up behind me, and they're actually flashing their high beams at me. And this is the middle of the day, but it was clearly a signal to get, move over, buddy. At least that's the way I interpreted it, for sure. And you know, what's going through my mind? What would be going through your mind at that time, if someone's flashing their high beams at you, telling you that you are in their way? My first reaction was, oh, heck no, and I'm gonna tap these brakes a little bit, and at the very least, maybe drop the cruise by a few degrees or a few kilometers an hour. That was my first reaction, right? But in the last few months, I've been reading this book every day, virtually every day, and praying a prayer that comes out of it virtually every day. It's a book called Humility. The author is a guy by the name of Andrew Murray. And I had to read the book again and again and again. And so although my first reaction was, there was a reminder that came afterwards that I had something different that I need to practice. And so I grudgingly moved over into the right-hand lane and began sort of praying blessings. And it's not about me, God. And I will take this opportunity to humble myself. It only took a few times reading that book through all the way through to bring that out of me. But you know what? Like the quote I read earlier, right? I'm not who I want to be. I'm not who I ought to be. I'm not who I will be one day when I meet Jesus, but I'm not who I was either. That God's, by God's grace, he's been doing some work. And although I have a first reaction, there was a second reaction that was maybe more in line with Jesus. We're going to talk about humility today. In order to talk about humility, we need to talk a little bit about what pride is and what pride isn't first. Pride is a heart posture. It's not an action. Okay? So let's be careful about this, because we see the driver flashing the high beams, right? And I automatically interpret it as pride, and his pride's upsetting my pride, and we're going at it sort of silently that way. We often judge actions and then assume that they are pride. Pride's actually much harder to judge than we realize. That guy might well be saying, I own the road, buddy, move over. He might also be saying, my wife's water just broke, right? And I have to get there as fast as I can, and I have no way of knowing that, right? Maybe to use a different example, someone might tell a story about themselves in which they did something right. Is that pride? It might sound like a brag to us, and it might be. What if it was insecurity? That it's someone not seeking to make themselves look better than you, but actually seeking your approval instead. Same action, but we don't actually know. Was it pride, or was it coming from a place of security? Or was it even coming from a place that is neither of those, but from a place of just saying, hey, this is a funny story, or hey, this might be helpful to you, and so it's actually for the sake of the other person. See, pride isn't an action. It's a heart posture, and we have a very hard time gauging heart postures. So let's be careful when we think about pride. And not just think about pride, but when we assume it's pride going on in someone else. That's the high self-esteem side of pride. But there's also a form of pride that comes in the form of low self-esteem too. And this is perhaps not as familiar to us. But it is still an example of pride. When someone says, I'm worthless, right? Low self-esteem, I'm worthless. Whether it's high self-esteem or low self-esteem, what's the common word there? Self. Right? For someone to say, I am worthless and I don't care what God says about me, I know better, that's actually still a form of pride. Right? Because it's still, I'm going to decide my value. I'm going to decide my worth. I'm not taking it from God. So the self shows up in both examples. But humility is not low self-esteem. Humility is self-emptying, all right? Not I am so great and not I am so low, but I am almost in a sense irrelevant. Again, not in the sense of low self-esteem, but in the sense of I must step aside because he must increase, I must therefore decrease, right? That's humility, all right? It's not always a big head. It's that the self is still somehow in the way, and humility is taking ourselves out of the equation, putting ourselves to the side in order that God might have proper place in our lives. So Andrew Murray in his book will actually describe it as self-emptying that God might be all. In other words, we let go of ourselves in order that we might make room for God to be everything. And he grounds it in some scriptures. He grounds it in the life of Jesus. And we have covered the scripture so many times, but would you go there again? Philippians 2, please. See it for yourselves. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. The Apostle Paul is encouraging his church to say, have the same attitude in you that Christ Jesus had, who, although he already existed in the form of God, he did not consider his status, his equality with God, as something to be used to his own advantage. But he, verse 7, emptied himself. He let go of all of the advantages of being God, the status, the power, etc., that came with it, by taking the form of a servant. And the word here is like the lowest form of servant. And being born in the likeness of humanity and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. See, obedient to the Father. This was the Father's plan to save humanity and creation. This is what Jesus had to do. And in obedience to his Father, he lets go of everything, saying, I'm putting self aside for your sake, Father, and I will become obedient to your command, as the text says, to the point of death. I will go as far as humanly possible to empty myself, to set self aside in order that you might be everything, that you might be all. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of humanity, he was found in appearance as man, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, as in the worst form of death. It's about forgetting ourselves, emptying ourselves, and following the path of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who shows us how to live. And he shows us how to live by setting himself aside that it might be all about God and doing whatever it is that he wants. That's humility. And he gives us this example. And he invites us to learn from his example. Now think about this. Would you go to Matthew chapter 11, please? These are familiar verses, but I think this is something perhaps a little bit more fresh. We're going to bring something fresh out of this. When Jesus invites people to a life of knowing him and learning from him, we call that discipleship, following Jesus, becoming like the master. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, take my work upon you. By learning from me, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Humility is the path to rest. So what are the burdens that we are carrying? All of the stuff that's self. We've been carrying so much related to self. My will, my wants, my ways, my ambitions, my goals, my dreams, my hopes for life, my way of getting ahead over and above them. And Jesus, the call that Jesus has is to come learn from me. I let that go. You must do the same. That's what he calls us to. I would invite you to consider that if some of the things that you are carrying, the weights and the weariness and some of the burdens, some of the things that are saying, making you say, I need rest, are actually, the rest is only going to be found in letting go of self. That was the path of Jesus. He empties himself and takes the form of a servant. And you know, Jesus says this over and over and over again. It's not about me. I came not to be served, but to serve others. It's a posture that says, my life is not going to be about me. It's going to be about how I can serve the Lord and bless other people. Not how I can accumulate, not how I can gain, not how I can raise myself up and get status over other people. To show how I'm getting ahead in life, it's going to be about something else. It's going to be about emptying. It's why when Jesus starts the Beatitudes, the first one says, blessed are those who are giving themselves up, who know they don't have it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, it says. Who knows, the people who know, it's not going to be all about me. There's a poverty that happens there, a self-emptying. It's blessed because it's the path of Jesus. And the path of Jesus gets God's blessing. Now, I'm going to outline for you just a couple of things that Andrew Murray in his book points out. First of all, he says that our humility should be grounded in the life of Jesus. And what the life of Jesus reminds us of is that we are creatures of dependence. That Jesus, in emptying himself of all the advantages of being God, meant that he then had to rely on God just like you and I do. I mean, he came as a baby and was nursed. And changed, right? This is someone who exemplified dependence. We are creatures who are made to be dependent on God, and he provides for some of those things through other people. But we have to return to this sense of dependence on God. Jesus emptied himself, whereas pride is constantly, I have to be independent. Not only do I have to be independent, I have to be more independent than all of those other independent people. We don't like weakness, do we? We don't like dependence, do we? These aren't really great words for us, right? It's not going to get you very far out there, is it? Yet there's this story that happens in Scripture where someone learns to delight in weakness. It's bizarre. The Apostle Paul goes through some incredible supernatural experiences where he experiences God at levels that are hard even to articulate, and he can't find the words for it. And he's starting to go, this is so awesome, and I am so great. And what God does is say, I'm going to allow weakness into your life to teach you something that you cannot learn from the supernatural experiences that you have yet had. And I don't know what it was. Paul describes it as a thorn in a flesh, which is a metaphor. I don't know what it was, whether it was a physical ailment or whether it was a person who was constantly pestering him. I have no idea. And he asks God, he says, we've had such great connections, and I have seen you do miracles through my hands. So I would like this removed. This person, this ailment, this disease, whatever it is. And God says, no, I'm leaving it there to teach you something that you can only learn when there's dependence and weakness. And Paul goes back to him and says, I'm not sure if you heard me. And he asks the same prayer again. And God gives him the same answer. And then he asks him one more time. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be dependent. I have work to do. You gave me work to do. I have your work to do. I already gave up all my other stuff. I got your work to do, and this is currently in the way. And God says, this is actually going to be part of my work for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And there's a shift that happens in the Apostle Paul. When he actually gets it the third time God says it to him. And what he says in 2 Corinthians is that I will learn to delight and rejoice in my weakness. I am not there yet. Maybe some of you are. This is aspirational. I aspire to this level. I am not currently there. Because I still see suffering as something to be avoided, and I still see weakness as something to be worked on. I have to somehow improve and overcome my weakness, and yet what God's message is that, no, this is actually something to be embraced because it teaches you to receive from me something that you do not receive in the other high mountain peak supernatural experiences with me. You can only get this life of Jesus from this posture and this position. And it's a posture of weakness. And it's a posture of dependence. Now, do we love Jesus enough to say, I want that part of your life too? Not just the power, but I want that part of your life. I want to experience you in that. Do you want more of God? Dependence. Murray made an interesting point. This is the next point, different one. I found myself sometimes trying to play sort of, I call it like whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole with, you know, sin creeps up and you just start, bang, try to knock it back down. Pride is one of those whack-a-mole games where it's like it constantly pops up in different places and in different forms. And Andrew Murray makes the interesting point. He says, your job is not to try to kill that mole. Your job is not to try to dig that thing out somehow. Your job is to humble yourself. It's a completely different way of looking at things. I'm not to try to dig up pride by the roots as though it has one root and I can just get it up like that, those irritating dandelions I was trying to get out of my garden yesterday, just as one basic root, right? It's like one of those other weeds that just goes everywhere. But he said, it's not the point is not to try and dig this thing up by the roots. The point is to find ways to humble yourself. Don't try to beat pride down. Humble yourself. Don't focus on the pride. Focus on your action, your responsibility, which is humble yourself. Humble yourself. Take the way of Jesus. So let me give you some examples of ways to practice humbling yourself. I probably shared these before. Do confession, not just in personal prayer with God. You really want to humble yourself? Confess it to another person. Practice confession. Ask for help, not just with God, with other people. You know, God actually designed us to need other people. And I'm not kidding. I need your gifts, your spiritual gifts. I am not designed to function somehow independently with God as though I have everything I need for a flourishing spiritual human life. I need you. We need each other. Your gifts, your experiences, your way of seeing God have value too, and those things need to be shared. So learn to live in community together. Learn to live in community together and say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this. Whether it's a sin, whether it's simply, I'm confused about God, or I'm confused about why he's acting this way right now, or I'm confused about my life. Process it with other people. Reach out and say, I'm lukewarm right now. I need help. Will you do this with me? That's humbling yourself. Learn to serve. Learn to serve and learn to sacrifice, not just serve when it's convenient. Worship. Worship is a really good way to humble yourself because it's a way of coming before God and saying, you are the center. I live my whole life like I'm the center, but actually it's you. Would you make the practice of daily worship, being a daily humbling of yourself as you say, no, you have the throne, Lord. I am constantly being lied to and I'm constantly buying into the lie that I have the throne of my own life. No, you have the throne. You're creator. You are savior. I exist in your story as one of those sub-characters. The main plot, the main character, the hero in this story is you, Jesus. Worship, how to humble yourself. Exercise faith. Take risks. Go out on Wednesday nights. Here's a different way of humbling yourself. Seek only God's approval. Don't seek the approval of other people. When we seek the approval of other people, what we actually do is make that person into a god. Because they then become the ones who determine my worth, my value. Don't seek human approval. Seek to please God. Seek his approval. It's another way of humbling ourselves. So in that process, ask yourself, when you find yourself seeking human approval, ask yourself, why did I do that? What do I think I'm getting out of this? What am I looking for? Has this person become someone, have I given them a status in my life they actually shouldn't have? Humble yourselves. Not only should we humble ourselves, we should look for opportunities. This is Andrew Murray's point. It has been probably the most challenging thing in the book. He says, look for opportunities to go lower in the sight of other people. He says it's one thing to, you know, humble yourself in prayer and worship before God, sort of one-on-one, but the only true test of whether or not you are growing in humility is whether or not you will humble yourselves before other people. Oh man, that was hard to hear. Let me read something to you. He said, let us, I'm paraphrasing because this is, he wrote in like the late 1800s, early 1900s, so some of the language I'm simplifying. He says, as we recognize that we have a lack of humility in our own lives, let us seek this humility from God. And let us look upon every brother or sister who, in his language, who tries or vexes us. I like that word, people who vex you. In other words, people who test your patience. Let us look on every brother or sister who tests your patience as you get cut off while you're driving. All of my worst character traits come out when I'm driving. I've noticed this. I confessed that to my confessor not too long ago, to be honest. But let us look upon every person who tests our patience, every person that we find irritating, every person we find annoying, every person who actually is our biggest critic, then you can just tell they don't like me. Let us look upon every person like that as God's grace to us, as God's instrument for purifying us from our own pride and learning to practice the humility of Jesus. Oh, is that ever a challenge? Are there people coming to mind for you right now who you think, this person drives me crazy? Could you see that person as the gift from God that he is going to use in your life to produce a humility that is not currently there in order that we might look more like Jesus? Reading this book was like reaching up. I don't mean in terms of I'm so humble. I mean like reaching up in terms of like this is like someone who got it at a level I don't get it, but I want to get there. And I found this so challenging, I put it on my wall in my office because I need this. So will you look on people who start to argue with you as someone that, as an opportunity that God is putting right in front of you that you might learn the humility of Jesus and act and respond more like him? When you get a review at work and it doesn't go the way that you want, will you accept it and work with it with a humility that says, this isn't about my ego. How can I improve? Will you pray blessings on those who curse you? Will you look on those as opportunities to be more like Jesus? Because remember, humility is about letting go of self in order that God might fill us and be all. In Isaiah, God says, I dwell in high and lofty places. I have the throne, God says. But I also dwell with those who are low and contrite of heart. There's a humility there. God looks for the places and the people where there's humility because that's where he wants to show himself. That's where he wants to reveal himself. So the more that we humble ourselves, the more that we give space and opportunity and even invitation for the Lord to come into our lives in ways that our pride holds him at a distance. Murray, I've heard Jeff Gowdy quote this a number of times, but he's quoting Andrew Murray, who says that water always goes to the lowest place. How many of you have had farms? What's the lowest place in the field? Wherever the water is, right? Water seeks the lowest place. The Holy Spirit seeks those who go lower and lower and lower because it's a place where he can fill and he can give strength and nourishment and make us flourish. So back to my story. I was driving on Highway 2, flashing high beams. First thought is tap the brakes or just continue on as is and let this annoying person, right? Second thought was, no, I'm learning to practice humility. I'm going to move over, right? I told you it was between 67th and 32nd Street, and so my exit was 32nd Street. And guess who's the car in front of me at the stoplight? And what's the first thing going through my head? It's that smug self-satisfaction, like, I told you, buddy, right? But the second thought was, once again, oh, right, I've been reading this book. I'm learning to practice this. I'm not there yet. I'm not who I ought to be. I'm not who I want to be. But I'm not who I was, by God's grace. Our memory verse for this week, would you put it up, please? Could we do this one together? This is earlier on in Philippians 2, just before the passage that we read. Would you read this with me? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above yourselves, looking not to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. It's learning to be in front of someone who is currently rubbing you the wrong way and saying, this person's more important than me. It's not a self-esteem thing. It's setting self aside to take full interest in whatever is going on with this other person. Andrew Murray, at the end of his book, has a prayer that I started trying to pray each day. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to explain it, and then I will invite you. I will not coerce you. I will invite you to pray it with me. So would you put it up, please? He says, Lord, I pray that of your great goodness, you would make known to me and take from my heart every kind and form and degree of pride, whether it be from evil spirits or my own corrupt nature, and that you would awaken in me the deepest depth and truth of that humility which alone can make me capable of your light and Holy Spirit. Let me explain this. Would you go to the first one again, please, Olivia? He says, Lord, I pray that of your great goodness. In other words, the request that God would grant us humility is a gift that he will give that will come from a place of his goodness. It's not from, red ink all over your assignment and a bad grade. God doesn't just come to you and say, you only have these things to improve. It's more like, here is an opportunity for you to grow in the likeness of my son. It comes from a place of goodness. Would you take from me every kind and form and degree of pride? Because it comes from so many, pride shows up in so many different places. And I'm going to need your help, Lord, to help me see it, because currently I'm either blind to it, or I could care less. But Lord, I want Jesus, and I want more of your spirit, and therefore, because I want you, I will learn to set myself aside that I could receive more of you. And then would you go on to the second part? It has different sources. And would you awaken in me the deepest depth and truth of that humility, which alone can make me capable of your light and Holy Spirit. Like I said, where does the water go? Always to the lowest place. It's a prayer that says, Lord, I want to make more room for you. And in order to make more room for you, I have to make less and less and less room for myself. He must increase, I must decrease. So if you would like to, I would invite you to pray this prayer again with me. So could we start at the beginning here? Lord, I pray that of your great goodness, you would make known to me and take from my heart every kind and form and degree of pride, whether it be from evil spirits or my own corrupt nature, and that you would awaken in me the deepest depth and truth of that humility which alone can make me capable of your light and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to pause for a moment and just give you an opportunity to listen to the Lord in prayer. I'll just invite the worship team to come on back up as I close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that points to your example. that you don't call us to do anything less than what you have already done and shown us the way forward. Lord, we believe you. Lord, we believe that we need to live lives like John the Baptist said, of Jesus must increase, I must decrease. So Lord, would you make us people who will step into this, who will begin to practice humility in order to invite you to have more of us and to do more with us, that you might get all the credit and the glory, that our lives would not be about ourselves, it would be about you. Thank you, Lord. Have your way among us. In Jesus' name.